Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. More than four decades ago, California became the first and still the only state in the nation to create a pension fund for retired professional boxers. The goal of the California Professional Boxers Pension Plan was to provide a financial safety net to help these athletes with life after the ring and prevent the most vulnerable from being impoverished. If you've never heard of this pension before, you're not alone. Many former boxers haven't heard about it either. An investigation from the LA Times found the California State Athletic Commission, which is the agency overseeing this pension fund, has fallen short of its goal of notifying and providing this safety net to hundreds of former boxers and their beneficiaries. This revelation has left many retired boxers frustrated and comes as a similar pension fund is being considered at the state capitol for mixed martial arts, also known as MMA. Melody Gutierrez is an investigative reporter for the LA Times and joins us with her reporting. Good morning, Melody.
Good morning.
So I had no idea there was a pension fund for retired boxers, let alone from decades ago, like 1982. When did you first learn about this pension fund?
It was several years ago. There was a state audit in 2005 that at one point I printed that out and put it in a folder. And I kept looking at that over the years and thought, I'm going to someday look at this and do some digging and figure out how this is working, because I had never heard of it. And I covered MMA at a point at the Sacramento Bee. I had, you know, covered government accountability stories and worked it, as a legislative reporter. And it still was something I had never heard about. And so it was always on my to-do list. And so it was just about time to kind of take it out and take a look at it.
What eventually led you to really take that leap and dive into pensions for retired pro boxers in the state?
I moved into an investigative job in November, and that was the point in which I was able to spend months on this, because this was never going to be a story that could be done quickly. This involved finding boxers who, you know, didn't have any kind of contact information. I had very little to go on in terms of trying to locate them. And so I wasn't quite sure how many I'd be able to get a hold of, how many, would be welcoming to hearing from me. And so it was sort of a leap of faith to try to work on this as my first investigation.
Yeah. When it comes to the state legislature back in 1982, why did they decide to create a pension fund for boxers in the first place?
Well, it goes back actually to 1971. That was when the lawmakers actually gave the authority to the Athletic Commission to begin creating these regulations. And at that time, I went through the state archives and found, you know, documents saying that they were worried about the vulnerability of fighters. So it wasn't just medical issues. It was, fighters that were homeless after successful careers. And so lawmakers were saying at the time, you know, well, what happens to the guys who, you know, aren't even successful? And so there was a concerted effort to make sure that this sport that fans, watch and they entertain, that there's some way of boxers being able to retire comfortably or at least have some sort of help in those later years.
Yeah. I mean, is this run like other state-run pensions, like state or government employees? How is it designed to work?
It's completely different. For starters, it's a defined contribution plan. So it's more similar to a 401k than a typical defined benefit plan that you might see in CalPERS. And its regulations are extremely unique. I talked to many pension experts who said, I have never seen anything quite like this. But at the same time, this is a very unique beneficiary. There are no other states that offer pensions to boxers. So it was always going to be designed differently. But the regulations of this one are, you know, quite unique.
How is it designed to work? Who's eligible?
So boxers who have at least 75 scheduled rounds are eligible. And as long as those 75 rounds are fought in California, it doesn't matter where you live. So residency is not a requirement, but your fights have to be in California. And it's 75 scheduled rounds. And you have to fight those with no more than a 3-year break. And so as soon as you start fighting in California, the commission starts an account for you, and then you're working towards those benefits.
And then when can you actually reap those benefits if you're aware of this pension fund in the first place?
at 50 years old is when you're supposed to apply for your pension. You have then 3 years to apply for it. You never lose your benefits, but the way the commission's pension operates right now is after that 3 years, your benefits are then distributed among other fighters, and then they set aside a smaller amount to pay your full pension amount when you do come forward, but they don't set aside an adequate amount to pay all of them. So it is, there is a sizable unfunded liability with this pension.
Yeah. I mean, so what I'm learning from you is it ebbs and flows depending on how many boxers are eligible and how much money is actually in this fund. We're going to get to the outliers and the challenges. But first, on average, when you're looking at the amounts, what is a typical pension for a retired boxer?
So the average pension paid out and the first pension payment was in 1999. So it did take many years for the first boxer
17
to.
Years.
Yeah. And so that was the first year that they gave a pension payout. There were many years in the 2000s, early 2000s, where there were no pension payments at all. And so the average payment is about $17,000, and the range is pretty high. So you have Sugar Shane Mosley, who was paid $203,000 last year, and that's the highest that the pension has ever paid out. And then they're as low as, $8,000, $5,000, somewhere in there. So they go, it's a large range, but on average, it's $17,000.
Why is, for one, why did it take 17 years to distribute the first benefit payment? And then why are there lapses in years where there are boxers who aren't receiving any pension?
Yeah, so the time it took for the first pension payout partially is because it takes a while for a boxer at the end of their career. You figure that most boxers fight in their 20s, maybe their early 30s, but then you don't qualify until you're 50. So that it's that age range right there before they were able to give out those payments, because that's when boxers became eligible. But in many years, including the 2000s, where there were 6 years in which no payments were given out, part of that is it wasn't that people weren't eligible. It was that they really have always struggled to notify boxers that this pension exists and to tell boxers that they specifically are eligible.
Mm. How is this funded? Does it come from taxpayers?
Not at all. So this is a fee on tickets to boxing events. It's 88 cents per ticket, with a max amount for each boxing event of $4,600. So it's not a huge amount of money. And as you can see with the payments that are going out of $17,000, that it's not a large amount of money, but that's how they fund it. And so it's no taxpayer money, but it is state run.
And that was an amount that was set in the 1980s, you know, and now we're in 2023 and it hasn't been adjusted since then.
Yes. So the last time they raised the ticket fee was, 1999. And so it's been a while. There is some controversy over whether they are supposed to be raising fees. The commission argues that they're not subject to raising it by the Consumer Price Index. The law appears to say that they're supposed to be, but there's some controversy over whether or not they should have been raising this to ensure that these pensions don't depreciate over time.
You found that, you know, it's really difficult for this commission, the state commission, to find these retired boxers. I mean, how many are we talking about? How many actually collect a pension versus those that are eligible but don't or aren't even aware that it exists?
So since 1999, with that first payment, there have been about 235 boxers who have received their pensions for about $4 million. There is still about 200 boxers that have pensions that are currently eligible to be paid. These are boxers 50 and older who have not received their pensions.
What is the reasoning for not being able to find people?
So the Athletic Commission says, you know, they have a hard time finding them. They have old addresses. When I spoke to pension experts, they were kind of baffled at the idea that the commission waits until a boxer is 50 years old before trying to reach them for the first time to let them know that they are owed these benefits. And when they do it that way, the addresses that they have on file are typically decades old and no longer good. So the pension experts I was talking to said, you know, most pensions will, at the very minimum, send you a statement once you vest, and that is not what's happening with this pension.
Mm. When you talk to pension experts, you know, there are various pensions, you know, across the country and in California. I mean, did they find this particular pension fund for retired boxers and the shortcomings egregious?
they were pretty alarmed by the rate in which boxers were not being notified and the fact that there were boxers who specifically told me, I have never even heard of this. I have no idea what you're talking about. And that did happen quite a bit when I was calling boxers who had no idea. And even yesterday, there was a woman who called me and had just realized that her uncle had received a text message from me asking, you know, for information and just trying to figure out if that was the person I was trying to reach. And so she called me and was like, well, he was a boxer, but I don't know what you're talking about. And so I was able to give her information on her uncle's pension so that they can apply. But I mean, she had never heard of it. He had never heard of it. And I heard that over and over and over from people who just had no idea this existed.
I keep hinging on that argument from the commission that it's really difficult to find boxers. I mean, they're using information that's decades old, but you were able to find several boxers. Was it difficult for you to find them?
There was varying levels of difficulty. There was some boxers who I found within minutes. And that's not an exaggeration. They're you know, I am a reporter. I do find people. I know how to do that. But I do feel like that there were some very easy to find boxers in on this list who had been on the list for decades. One specifically, Mike Jamison in San Jose. He had a state license. Because he worked in pest control after being a boxer, and so he actually had to file with the state his most current address, and that was the address he had lived at for 30 years. It wasn't his address when he was a boxer, but he had been there for 30 years, and so he was particularly easy to find. He's one of the examples. He's 68 years old. He should have applied or could have applied at 50 and had no idea it existed.
Hmm. You profiled several of these retired boxers. What was a larger theme that you learned from them when it comes to, you know, it's, you know, roughly, you know, $10,000 to $17,000. I mean, that can help with bills. I mean, what would this add or help with their financial support in the later years of their life?
Well, there were several examples of boxers on government benefits who are absolutely looking at this money as critical. And, you know, in one case, I went to Canada and interviewed a boxer who, you know, he's relying on friends to make ends meet. I had interviewed a couple of his friends who had told me, you know, like a couple years ago, like just how bad off he was when his government benefits had lapsed. They worried he was going to be homeless, you know. And even when I visited him, he was sleeping on a massage table he had dragged up from the alley. I mean, money was very tight for him, and if not for friends, he would have been homeless. And he has dementia, and he has all of these issues. And so this money, even though his pension specifically is only $8,800, this is like critical for him. And he is absolutely elated at the prospect of what this means for him.
I was so surprised when you were profiling these boxers. Some had very successful careers. They fought famous boxers that we all know, even if we're not, you know, boxing enthusiasts. But then, you know, life after, it completely changed for them and in some cases unraveled.
Yes, there were a couple boxers that I interviewed who talked about, you know, just the difficulty of going from a life in which everyone's looking at you and everyone feels like you're the next big one, big athlete. And, you know, they live their lives in that moment. And the amount of financial literacy in the sport is very low. And unlike other sports, there are no player unions because these are, you know, individuals. And there are a lot of there's a lot of history with boxing in terms of athletes being taken advantage of. And so I think that there is a unique circumstance here where boxers need an advocate, and there is no advocate in this avenue. And so I think, you know, they absolutely were welcoming this money.
When you brought all of these findings to the commission, what is going to come of it? Were they receptive to your findings, and are they actively in the process of making changes, or are there just the challenges are so deep that it's hard to overcome this?
You know, the Athletic Commission's executive officer, Andy Foster, has been very open to the findings of the story. I think that he, I mean, for one, he spent hours in calls with me to explain the intricacies of this pension. And, you know, they knew exactly my findings going into it. And there have been already a couple cases in which they have responded, one being one of the issues that I had identified was the commission had a list on their website that said, click here if you're a boxer to see if you're owed benefits. But that list was incomplete. And it also only included people who could file late claims. And so it wasn't people who had turned 50 who, you know, were owed a pension at that point. The list had actually stopped at the letter S for last names. And so it was, you know, cut off at the end. And so they did update that already. And I think that that will have an impact in people who are going to that to the commission's website to check on whether they have pensions available.
Yeah, the pandemic obviously played a role because, you know, boxing wasn't happening during, you know, the early months and years of COVID due to public health safety. Did that have, what kind of impact did that have on the pension fund and even the staffing for this agency that's tasked for distributing these payments?
Yes, so the commission's budget was decimated by the pandemic. The commission itself is also a special fund, so it's not taxpayer funded. This is all licensing fees and taxes on the industry itself. So their budget was decimated during the pandemic, and in addition, the pension was decimated in terms of the revenue coming into it. And then after the pandemic, you know, later in the pandemic, the pension itself, their investment account took a major hit last year. And so I think that that really impacted the performance of the Athletic Commission and their ability to, you know, give out larger payments. But the issue of finding boxers while during the pandemic, it's understandable on why they weren't looking aggressively for boxers during that point. The not finding boxers is an issue that goes back decades.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, these are longstanding issues, but there is a timeliness to your series of reports because the state legislature is also considering a bill that would create a pension plan for MMA fighters and will also be overseen by the California State Athletics Commission, the same commission if it's approved and signed into law. What stands out to you about this pension fund and what are some potential hurdles given that there are significant challenges with the existing pension fund for boxers?
Yeah, I think, you know, the interesting thing about the MMA pension is that, you know, the commission's doing this because there is a disparity between combat sports right now in California, that one sport is allowed to get a pension and the other sport is left out. And so that's sort of the reasoning behind pushing this forward and ensuring that MMA and boxing both have a pension. They're not combining these pensions. These will be two separate pensions with different ticket fees for those events. You know, I think the thing that's really stood out to me is that the conversation about finding boxers and the issues in the boxers' pension, which has been highlighted in audits over the years and, you know, concerns in sunset reviews in the legislature, but the MMA bill, there has been no discussion to date in these public hearings about whether or not the modeled system, the boxer pension, is living up to its promise before creating one that's modeled after it. And so it has sailed through all of its committees so far unanimously with little discussion, actually no discussion of problems with the boxer's pension.
Yeah, like maybe the learning lessons of the precedent that was set in the state. Melody, thank you so much for this reporting.
Thank you.
Melody Gutierrez is an investigative reporter for the LA Times, sharing her reporting on how California's pension fund for professional boxers is falling short of its goals. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.